Hi there. Welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm Jay Stevens, and with me, as always...
Hey, it's Gary Michaels right here. How are you?
As most of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not always.
Yeah, not always.
Whenever we can get him, we're always glad to have Gary in the studio with us.
Man, I always love this.
Yeah, it's good times, man. It's good to have somebody else in the building that wants to talk about hockey and plays hockey.
Yes.
And today, special guest. I've known this has been going on for a while, but it's kind of awesome, and I think a lot of people don't know. Dallin, is it Staheli?
Staley.
That's pretty simple. Why did I get it all? Why did I church it up?
You're nervous, man.
All right, Dallin Staley. I meant to ask you that before. All right, so Dallin, I don't know how many people know. You guys have gotten some coverage, and you've got a website, but you are kind of the driving force behind hockey in Cedar City, Utah. Is that correct?
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
So I'm from Cedar City, Utah. Lived here most of my life, except for just a little bit of time in a few other places. But, yeah, mostly just a Cedar City guy.
So how did you get into hockey?
Kind of just boredom one winter. I didn't grow up playing hockey. Didn't grow up watching hockey, not really interested in hockey at all. I grew up as just a farm boy here in Cedar City, and one winter while I was in college, me and a couple of my brothers and a few of our friends decided we needed something to do in the winter, so we just decided to try playing hockey out on the irrigation ponds here on our farm, and looked like total idiots doing it, but fell in love with it.
So. How old were you?
I was probably 21, 22, somewhere in there.
Wow. I've been playing for 30 years, and I still look like an idiot every time I go out.
Me
so
too.
Welcome to hockey.
I started at 27.
Yeah.
So there is no age limit.
Okay, so you guys just started playing on the irrigation canals, and then eventually you turned it into... Was it a pond, or how did you get the first rink out there?
Yeah, so we started on a pond that just naturally froze. Pretty good sized pond. It was about a 3-acre pond, so we decided that was a little too far to be chasing our pucks and our rocks around on. So we decided we'd do something that had sides on it. And so we got some little hay bales. We made kind of an oval out of hay bales and put a plastic liner in the bottom and put 2 or 3 inches of water in there and let that freeze up. So I guess you could say that was the first ever ice rink in Cedar City, was our little hay bale lined rink. And from there, that kind of scattered hay all over the ice, so that wasn't the best thing either. So we decided the next year that we'd spend a little time making dasher boards out of plywood and 2x4s. So we built a whole dasher board system out of plywood and 2x4s. It was about a 50 by 110 foot little rink that we did there in the haystack yard, and did that for a couple of years. So there was never really any intention of doing a rink that was open to the public, but it just kind of happened, I guess.
So people just kind of started coming out of the woodwork, or I guess in your case, the woods?
Yeah. It was just for us, you know, me, my brothers, and a couple of friends, and before we knew it, who knew, but there was quite a few people in Cedar City that had played hockey in other places and were dying to do it, even if it was just in the stackyard of a farm, so... Yeah, it didn't take too long before we had a pretty good group of about 30 guys that were coming out every weekend and would have a Saturday morning hockey game out there.
Wow.
And
so what year was this? What year was this initial stuff going on?
Oh, this would have had to have been 8 or 9 years ago, so probably 2010, 11,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
Wow, that's cool. Man, you guys have made a lot of progress.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so you guys, you start out, you have just people showing up for a Saturday game. When do you start thinking about maybe making this a more permanent thing?
Yeah, so we did that little rink with the plywood. We did that for 2 years, And the second year that we had it, there was another group in town. So while we were kind of doing our thing, totally unaware of anything else that was going on, there was also a group in St. George that had got a temporary ice rink set up. They did that for a couple of years. And there's a few people here in town in Cedar City that were involved with that. And when that went away in St. George, they were really disappointed, but they were happy to learn that we had our little ice rink there in Cedar. So they started coming out to play, and we got talking, and kind of between the two of us is how we kind of decided there's enough interest. We need to look and see if there's a way that we can do something that's more accommodating to the public and that could be a little more official than what we have. We had tons of just groups of kids that wanted to come for birthday parties or church groups or all kinds of people that were wanting to come use it, but just really not a good way to accommodate them. So that's what kind of got us thinking that we should look for something a little bigger and better, see if there wasn't a way to do it. So
then you guys kind of turned to the community?
Yeah, we turned to the community, turned to the city. So Cedar City has a rat tax that's used for recreational things, and it could be awarded to nonprofit groups. So we set up a nonprofit group to kind of spearhead the effort, and did some pretty good petitioning to the city, and somehow convinced them to give us almost $100,000 to get us started.
Wow.
And then the family business that I'm involved in was blessed enough, I guess, to have enough funds that we could fund about $100,000 of the initial investment too. And somehow everything just kind of came together. I mean, to do even what we did then on a $200,000 budget was pretty darn amazing.
So that $200,000 births what we call the glacier now, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we came across a used set of equipment. Actually, it was the same refrigeration system and stuff that had been in St. George several years earlier and had been sold off to another group in Grand Junction, and then we got it from them. So that all kind of worked out. Had a nice set of dasher boards that we got from Park City on an auction for $1,200.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
We built the whole ice mat, the whole tubing system for the floor. Built that all by hand out of PVC pipe and drip line tubing, hose barbs. So about over 21 miles of drip line tubing. We drilled holes, tapped holes, put the hose barbs in, and stretched all the lines across all by hand.
Wow!
So it was quite an effort to get that all put in. But
how many people were many people were involved with your group at that point doing all this labor of love?
There's probably a half a dozen of us that were really closely involved, and then there's probably, you know, through all the process, we probably had 20 people or so that would help here and there. But just a small group of us that were really closely involved in it.
Wow.
So when does the Zamboni come in?
So the Zamboni came as part of the stuff we got from Grand Junction. So we got the refrigeration, the chiller, that kind of stuff from Grand Junction. And then the Zamboni came with that. So
nice.
We had just the necessities, and that's about it.
That's so awesome,
it
though. It's like a dream come true, man. That's like, I'm sure we've all, like every hockey player at some point has thought about, all right, where can I build my rink?
Yeah. Well, it's not without a lot of work, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's the part that we hope that we can just hire out. Well, guys like me, I only own a screwdriver and a hammer, so I'm not a rink building kind of guy.
I'm with you. I push buttons for a little.
Yeah, I think I'd have hired out the next time too.
So that rap tax, that's Recreation Arts and Parks. Is that what that is, or what?
Yeah, Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
I just wanted to make sure I knew what that was. And so you guys build the glacier. Where does this end up going? How do you get this property that you put it on?
Yeah, so that was just another part of the good fortune, I guess, of the whole thing. So the city a few years earlier had built a new rec center, and really it was just a pool, so the city pool, and they had planned a second phase of the pool, which was supposed to be, you know, completed into a rec center where there would be gyms and kind of a multi-use area, but it hadn't been completed yet. So there was a good spot that was already leveled. It had power available to the site. We had to do a little bit of work and put in some lights and that kind of stuff, but it was almost a turnkey site for us that the city agreed to let us move into. So that's kind of how we got the site. So it's right, I would say attached, except for it's outside, but it's connected to the city's rec center. So they allow us to use their restroom facilities and stuff, which really helped to just make it possible.
Right.
Yeah.
So what size is the sheet of ice you guys are playing on now?
So the surface right now is 170 feet long by 70 feet wide, so we're a little bit short.
Yeah, but not much.
Full-size rink, but it's a decent size.
I've played college games on that size ice before, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, at Weber, I know that the first BYU rink was about that same size, and I think Stanford was about that same size.
Nice.
Okay. And it makes for kind of a tight game, but yeah. It's fun.
Better than the pond and chasing your pucks down the pond.
Yeah, it's not a 3-acre pond, so that's good.
So, and that all happened around 2013, where you guys got the permission to do that, you got it all built up.
Yep. It would have been 7 years ago now that we were starting to put everything into that site, so yep.
So what kind of community involvement is it? Not involvement, but like what kind of games do you have going on? Do you have youth games? Do you have, like, are there figure skaters out there wasting ice? I mean, out there with you as on the ice as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for what we have, so, yeah, I mean, it's an outdoor rink. It's kind of patched together because it was low budget and a lot of volunteer stuff. So for what we have, it's a very full-service rink, though, for the 3 months that we do it. So we have public skating sessions, we have learn to skate classes, we have a youth hockey league, we have an adult hockey league, we do private rentals, so I mean we do pretty much everything. It's a little hard for figure skaters to get very good because they only have 3 months they could practice.
Right.
But yeah, I mean we do the very best we can with what we've got.
Wow, it sounds like you guys, I mean, the turnaround is almost miraculous for you guys to go that quick. You have a question?
No, I was going to say that same thing. It's like, how crazy is that, that every, you know, you get a building and then it's kind of turnkey to go right in.
Yeah,
incredible.
You keep saying luck. I mean, that's just amazing that you guys have been able to pull this off to the level that you have so far. How many teams are in your adult league?
So last year we had 8 teams and about 130 players. This year I'm guessing that we'll have 10. I'm expecting about 150 players this year.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so the adult league's really taken off. I mean, it's probably the funniest adult league you'll see anywhere in the country. But
I want to come out and watch, man. I've when we started talking about this, and I started looking at all the pictures online, and it's just it looks so cool. I mean, it looks like a good time, and you guys have done such great work so far.
Yeah, it's fun. We have in the adult league, we have a B league, and we have an A league, and surprisingly, there's a lot of people in town that are really good hockey players. So I mean, it's decent competition in the A league. And the B League is just bumper cars. It's just hilarious. They just have a blast. I mean, it's guys, half of the guys are playing for their first time or second year and just having a blast. So it's pretty cool.
Now, have you guys hosted any tournaments? It seems like there was a college game or maybe a high level youth game there.
So 2 years ago, SUU here has a pretty good little hockey club that they've got going the last couple of years, and they invited UVU to come down and play them down here in Cedar City, and so that might be what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but yeah, they lost like 18-1 or something. Yeah, it was pretty brutal. It was a rude awakening for them. It was still a blast, though. They had a good time. So,
well,
can the public, can they rent the ice too, like per hour type deal?
We actually do quite a bit of that through the winter, especially, you know, morning time or whatever before the sun gets too warm. But yeah, there's a lot of groups that'll rent it out. Some of them will come and just do their own little pickup hockey games, rent it out, do that, or just rent it out and come skate for fun. We do quite a bit of that.
That is so cool. Like, I'm just, in the back of my mind, I'm like, we got to set up a men's league tournament. We got to go. I want to go play a whole weekend there and get down there and bring all the guys out. That looks just like, I'm looking at your rink right now, and it just looks like a blast. And for the listeners that want to check it out, so cedarcityglacier.com. And has pictures of the whole thing, like when you guys are putting the piping in and all this stuff, all the work, and just a glorious picture of a night, just clean ice that just makes my mouth water.
It does.
It's just, it's beautiful. So, all right, you've made all this progress, and now you guys have big plans. Tell me about what's going on now.
Yeah, so I guess some of the challenges that we have here at the current facility is just, you know, you said you'd want to come play a men's league tournament. You'd come down here and you'd have to get changed out in the cold and and whatever, because we don't have locker rooms. We don't have a lot of the facilities we need to really do anything like tournaments or that kind of stuff. So with the success and just the interest that there is in Cedar City and just the surrounding area, it's really a need. If we're going to keep going, keep growing, we need a better facility that's got a lobby where people can go stay warm if they're not out on the ice, at locker rooms, and has a roof over the ice so that the snow and the rain and all of the weather things we deal with aren't such a challenge. So we've been working on for a few years trying to figure out what should we do and what can we do. So last year we hired a consultant to come out and just do a feasibility study for us, kind of look at what we're doing. She came and interviewed dozens of people from the community, just anyone and everyone that could have an interest in it, and just kind of helped us put together a plan for what we should do and a facility that would be feasible. So, I don't know. Have you seen the pictures of the new design of the facility?
Yeah, those are, we were checking those out too.
Yeah, so the plan is to still keep it a nonprofit facility, so it won't be city run or county run. It'll still be run by our nonprofit. And so the design of the facility is basically designed to eliminate all of the challenges that we face right now to shelter the ice, shelter the customers from the elements. We've got all the locker room facilities that we would need to host tournaments and that kind of stuff. And
it's interesting that you guys still have like an open wall.
Yeah, and that's something that we went back and forth on that quite a bit, whether we wanted to do fully enclosed or whether we wanted to still kind of keep that outdoor element that we currently have, and the board of our nonprofit, as we kind of weighed the best options, we thought that keeping that open feel would still be a good thing. It'd give us a certain niche, I guess, in the world of ice rinks.
Yeah.
But the way that it's designed, everything is still sheltered enough that we shouldn't be battling weather or anything like that. And
does that make it so? Can you keep it open year round that way?
No, we won't be able to keep it open with ice year-round, but as we kind of went out, we researched a lot of different ice rinks, and, you know, the first thing you hear if you start talking ice rinks is get ready to lose a whole bunch of money.
Dang it.
Which is something that we just can't do, where we're not a city that can just tax people and pay for it. So we really had to come up with a plan that could be self-sustaining, too. So as we went around and visited a lot of different ice rinks, saw different facilities, you know, it's just a theme that ice rinks are not busy in the summer. It's not the high-income time of year, and it's the expensive time of year to keep the ice frozen. And so we found a few good examples of facilities that are similar to what we want to do, that actually do well financially, too. So our plan is to have ice from October through March, so that'll essentially be the skating and the hockey season. We'll have ice throughout that whole time. And then April through September, we'll melt the ice, we'll put in a sport court, and we can still do all kinds of skating activities on roller skates, so we can still do roller hockey, public skating sessions on roller skates, all that kind of stuff. But then it gives us all kinds of other diversity that we could offer, too, as far as programming through the summer, just to keep, a stronger business model in the summer and have a lot lower operating cost.
So yeah, I was going to say that's perfect because, like, I started out playing roller hockey, you know, so it was always fun to go to the roller rink and play and then go play some ice. Pretty different.
And we're so limited in Utah. Like, we're limited on ice, but we're definitely limited on roller hockey opportunities. Yeah. And the guys that do play, they're always looking for a turn. They're always posting about going to, like Wyoming or wherever to play roller hockey. So, of course, they'll go to Cedar City to play.
Yeah.
Cedar City's gorgeous.
And I think the way it's set up, I mean, you could see if you looked at those renderings, like, it still has an awesome view of the mountains to the east of Cedar City and just a really good view. It's kind of up on a hill.
Yeah.
And summer or winter, just that open atmosphere, we think will be more inviting than just being inside. There's just kind of something special about the outdoor environment, I guess. So.
Yeah, it's cool. It kind of reminds me, have you seen Sun Valley's rink? Sun Valley has kind of a similar one side
yeah,
open deal.
Yeah. We looked into that one a little bit, and Bend, Oregon. I don't know if you've seen the ice rink in Bend, Oregon, but that's one that we looked into quite a bit too.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So you guys have this future plan. How do we get from where we are now to making that a reality?
Yeah, so the biggest thing right now is money.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. So, we've worked pretty hard with the city to get a good start on our fundraising. So Cedar City has committed about $2.5 million to the project. The estimated complete cost of the facility is $5.7
million.
Okay. So with what the city's willing to put in, we're almost half the way there with their contribution. So we felt like that's something we really needed to even get our feet off the ground. And now that we've got that, we've been working with the county and the state a little bit, got the ball rolling there pretty good. And we have some good people here in town that are kind of helping advise us and help us a little bit on where else we could go for different funding opportunities. And another big part of how we plan to fully fund this is through just in-kind donations. And locally here, I mean, we've got a lot of great companies, you know, local to the Cedar City area that have pledged to donate materials or donate their services to getting the facility built. So we think we've got about $800,000 worth of in-kind pledges at this point, and hopefully that could go up a little bit. So I guess we're trying to kind of attack it on every angle and really just approaching it as a grassroots thing and trying to get as many people involved as we can to reach our goal. So
what can you do like the group funding thing, like GoFundMe or one of those options, or do they take too much? I'm not sure how those work, but are those things that you guys have looked into as well?
Yeah, so that's just something that we're just getting rolling now. So, like I said, getting the city's commitment was kind of our first step to be able to say we think we can get there. We didn't want to do a lot of public campaigns until we had the city's commitment,
right,
which we just recently got. So things like GoFundMe and kind of the crowdfunding is something that we're working on putting together a campaign for that right now. So within the next couple of weeks, we should have a crowdfunding campaign started too. We'll need a lot of networking and sharing of our fundraiser there too as we go forward with that.
Well, we're definitely going to help with that. And then now I know with the St. George group, and I hope I'm not throwing out any secrets here, but I know St. George is still working on getting a rink, and I know other rinks in the South, maybe not even in Utah, but in Las Vegas, have obviously reached out to the NHL and the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And I know that their owner has been pretty receptive to those. Have you guys reached out to them as well?
Yeah, we have a little bit. We've got kind of a budding relationship with them. We've had several meetings with some of the people with the Golden Knights, and I think that they're seeing more and more that we're serious about what we're doing, that we're making progress, which gets them a little more excited.
Yeah.
So the Golden Knights are currently involved in their own major multi-million-dollar ice rink right now. They're building a new rink in Henderson.
And that's supposed to be done next year, right?
I don't know the completion date. I just know that they're getting rolling on it now.
Oh, okay.
So,
maybe that was what it was. Maybe anyway, it's 2 years out.
So they haven't been overly eager to just jump in with a pot of cash to help us out. But they seem ready, willing, and able to help us out with our programs and stuff once those get rolling and kind of bring us into their fold with their learn to play programs and those kinds of things. And as we get further down the fundraising road, maybe they'll want to get involved in a little bigger way too that way. So
who's running your rink, like day-to-day operation?
So we've got a nonprofit set up, so it's our board that's kind of the main governing body. But we hire managers and employees and stuff to do the daily operations, and I kind of oversee everything from the top level.
You out there sharpening skates?
Not most of the time, but it happens now and then. Most of the time it's before an adult game and everyone's like, I need my skates sharpened, and no one's there to do it, so I help them out, but...
Well, man, this just looks awesome, Dallin. You guys have done just an amazing job, and I can't believe you go from just, you know, skating on a canal, skating on a pond,
yeah,
to what you guys have been pulling off. It's just, it's gorgeous, and it gets me so excited. And now I start thinking, you know, I'm at retirement age, and I haven't known where I'm from St. George, and that's some, like, raised in St. George until fifth grade, and that's what's weird as a hockey player is nobody's from St. George. And I'm like, yeah, I could go back south. Because the only thing that's kept me away from St. George in that area right now is that I play hockey 3 to 5 times a week, and if I didn't, I would go insane.
Yeah.
And now I've got something here.
I hear you. We got a lot of us going insane for 9 months a year until we get hockey back every winter.
Yeah. Man, and roller hockey is such a great substitute, and it's not even a substitute, man. When I was playing roller hockey, I was having a blast with roller hockey almost at the same level, and I'd play roller hockey twice a week and ice hockey twice a week, and I was fine with both, and I was loving it. And it looks like you guys are just scratching all those itches. And there has to be, there've got to be Canadian or, you know, Eastern Americans that, I don't know if that, is that a term, Eastern American? Anyway, there it got to be Americans from the East Coast or whatever that have been born and bred in hockey that now live in that area somewhere and maybe are going to become angel investors once they know this is going on. There've got to be people out there that are like, hey, there's hockey in Cedar City, and I need to throw some money at it and make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're hoping for. And, I mean, it's interesting, though, because even if they're not hockey players, there really is a very good community support for this. I mean, most, like I mentioned, in-kind donations and things, very few of those are even hockey players, but they're just interested in the good of the community and things that are good for the community and the kids and everything that's going on. So
and that's so cool to hear. I mean, that's just, I love hearing that stuff that companies are willing to get behind it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we know ice rinks are great in the community and how many, Salt Lake has gotten over the past since the Olympics and stuff. And, it's not just all hockey and everything. It's, there's, you know, like you said earlier, birthday parties and all sorts of fun stuff you can do.
Church groups get out there and play broom ball,
right?
All the time, and that's right. I mean, these bonding things, and you create all these jobs and a place to gather, and eventually, what would be awesome, and I mean, it could happen as soon as you got it could happen soon, is that SUU gets a team, and now your community has something else they can go watch. They can go watch hockey. They can go watch SUU play BYU or Utah or, you know, teams that you don't get in your other sports that'll come out there in hockey. It's still, it's ACHA or non-varsity as we're calling it now, but it's, those are fun games to watch. And that'd be great for that community.
Yeah. And that was something that was kind of fun when we were doing our pitch to the city, the president of SUU's hockey club showed up with five or six letters from all of the other hockey programs in Utah, all of the other college clubs that said, they would come down as soon as we have a facility that's able to facilitate them. So that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come out to be on the show with us and talk to us and tell us about what's going on. When we post this podcast, when we put it up, we'll put a link. We've got cedarcityglacier.com. Is there another place people can go, or is it too early to say where we can find your crowdfunding link?
We don't have a link up yet, but if anyone wanted to get involved in any way, they could either send us a message just through our website there, or I could give you my email if you want to put that up with it.
Yeah, we will for sure. And then do you guys have Facebook or Instagram and stuff like that?
Yes, Facebook. We do have a Facebook page, too. So
okay, we'll put that on the post as well.
Okay, yeah, great. So do you want me to just text you my email?
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then I'll make sure that gets up. And then anything else you want to tell people? I mean, here's your chance to throw your pitch out for if we've got some angel investor out there. How are you going to sink them in right now?
Oh, man, I'm not the best salesman. But
I don't mean to throw you on the spot, but... but I'm going to throw you on the spot.
I mean, like I said a few times throughout this thing is, I mean, it's just a totally grassroots thing. It's a thing that's grown from a desire of the community to have it. And that was something that even the consultant that came to do our feasibility study just said, this thing will succeed because anything that grows this way as a grassroots thing and progresses, you know, as the need develops, they always succeed in that case. And, I mean, it's just something that has such a broad appeal to the community, whether you're a hockey player or just someone looking for something to do with your kids or whatever. It's just such a good, wholesome and appealing thing that, you know, anyone who's interested in doing something good for people or for the community, I think this would be a good place to help out. So.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
No kidding, because there's a couple places here that want to add rinks, right?
Yeah.
And the community doesn't really want it. So if you got the community back,
yeah,
then that's good.
I want you to think back to that day when you're putting your hay bales on your ice, on your sheet. Did you ever think that you'd be where you are now?
No. Oh, no.
An ice rink could consume your life.
The thought never crossed our mind. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, it really is cool.
It is so cool.
At this point, we have so many people depending on us to get us done that we have to do it.
Absolutely.
So, and failure's not an option.
No pressure.
Gary and I are going to do everything we can to help to help you guys succeed. We're gonna post it and share it, and hopefully that goes viral and gets more posts and shares, and we'll just pump it. And we've got a ton of people from the Vegas area that also listen to the podcast or are on my Facebook or whatever. So hopefully we're gonna get all the people in the South on board here, and maybe somebody, I don't know, maybe somebody from right here is going to throw money at it and get you guys up and going. And I'll probably reach out to you. I think there's a way we can do this. I think we can put together a little tournament, whether it's a youth hockey or whatever. Just throw a couple trailers up for temporary trailers for dressing rooms.
Sure.
We can make this happen.
Yeah, we can.
I've dressed in worse for tournaments for sure.
Yeah.
So I'd love to come out and play. We're excited about it. Well, Dallin, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, man, thanks. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch.
We're going to keep everything going, and we're going to keep posting and updating and letting you know what's going on with Cedar and there'll be links to this so that you'll know how to get to it. And if you want to find out more, we're going to do articles on it. You can find those at kslsports.com. That's also where you can find the podcast.
Yes.
Right there on the little podcast link.
Absolutely. I didn't know you were a writer, man. That's awesome.
I'm not, man. It's just it's such a struggle. I love hockey, but I can't write. But I've been trying.
That's good.
But anyway, thanks for joining us, and that is the Utah Puck Report.